from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Next on Forum, the Bay Area is known for being a dog-loving region, but has our canine adoration reached an unhealthy level? Dogs now accompany us into grocery stores, cafes, and even offices, but some argue that we're excessively spoiling our dogs at the expense of others. We discuss whether our region really has a dog-coddling problem. Forum is next. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of the Forum program. San Francisco has more dogs than children, and with numerous dog parks and businesses often catering to dogs with water bowls and treats and many workplaces welcoming their employees bringing their dogs to work, it's hardly surprising that San Francisco is known as a dog-friendly city. In fact, the whole Bay Area is known as a dog-friendly region. But some feel many dog owners throughout the Bay Area are too indulgent and irresponsible, and dogs are a nuisance as well as a hazard to public health and safety. In this Forum Hour, we want to turn our attention to a basic question. Are dogs being treated too permissively? And a corollary question, are too many dog owners out of line? Joining us in studio is Farhad Manju. He's a technology columnist with Salon.com, which is an online public affairs and culture magazine, and recently published an article expressing his strong feelings about dogs. Welcome to the program. Good morning.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Martha Walters, also with us in studio this morning. She is co-founder and chair of the Crissy Field Dog Group. They're a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting responsible dog ownership and establishing and upholding permanent off-leash dog walking rights within the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Wonderful. Great to be here.
And so good to have you both here. Let's begin, if we may, Farhad Manju, with you, and we'll talk about this Slate article. Decidedly, you are not a dog person. You even call yourself canine intolerant. you don't like these dogs jumping up on you or people making you feel you have to pet them or getting licked by them, all that sort of thing. But you come out with some pretty strong rhetoric here. I mean, you go into the gym and you see dogs there and you say, they're having dominion over urban America. Dominion?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, anyone who visits cities like San Francisco or Seattle or any other kind of famously dog-friendly place, you'd be hard-pressed to argue otherwise. Dogs are everywhere. They're in our shopping malls. They're in restaurants. They're in offices. They're kind of everywhere you go. And for dog lovers, that's great. I mean, especially if you live in a city like San Francisco where you might not be able to have a dog in your tiny apartment, you can kind of be a foster pet owner to every dog you meet on the street. But for people who are not as big fans of dogs, it can get a little bit annoying. I liken it to and my problem here is less with the dogs themselves and with the owners who are not responsible about their dogs. So the owners who kind of assume that you want to pet their dogs, who assume that you're okay with the dog coming around your legs while you're sitting at your desk in your office and the dog kind of walking all over everywhere you might be. You know, people might not like dogs. They might just be annoyed by them, or they might be scared of them because there are lots of dog bites.
Or they might be allergic to them.
They might be allergic.
Or they might not like fleas and ticks, which are possibly or poo or whatever. I mean,
yeah.
There are a lot of problems attending.
Right. You know, I have a 2-year-old son, and I wouldn't assume that people would want to, be friendly with my son. Every time we're in a supermarket or anything, I make sure that he's not bothering other people. But I think that it's my impression that a lot of dog owners don't take the same care with their dogs that I do with my 2-year-old.
And you're saying essentially there's free rein, but you're also bringing up important questions. We'll talk with somebody from San Francisco Department of Public Health. I mean, when you have dogs who are going into food facilities and allowed and permitted, often, by the way, because people say they're service dogs and they're being fraudulent, they're actually not service dogs, you have a serious problem.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be clear that if someone has a service dog, I'm not talking about the service dogs. Because a service dog...
In fact, the phony service dogs are hurting the people who actually need
the service. No, that's true.
Dog.
But the, you know, authentic service dogs aren't... they're not coming up to people to get petted. And their owners aren't expecting treats for them and other things like that. I think that, you know, what I have... a bigger problem with the problem with is the pet dogs.
And the ones that are not held accountable by the owners. They
right.
can jump all over you. They can be off the leash. They can create all kinds of problems in the workplace where they're often welcome now, but not necessarily by those who are afraid or don't like them or
right.
have allergies.
And it's not – I mean, the problem is I think that the main reason I wrote this article is I think that we dog intolerant, canine intolerant people – are kind of afraid to speak out. And this is what I mean by dominion over urban America. I mean, I think everyone just assumes that you should love dogs and that if you have any kind of even small problem, if you find them annoying, that you're a cruel person. You're Cruella de Vil. So I think it's okay to not like dogs. I think it's okay to not like dogs being all over you. And I just want to think – I just want to the people who are
I love dogs and I give you my blessing, my son.
Yeah.
You can hate dogs all you like. It doesn't bother
you know,
me.
I just want the people who find dogs a little bit annoying to be able to speak out about it.
Fair enough. But there are other concerns here that we should touch on. Some of you may want to express, those of you listening, your own feelings about dogs one way or the other. In fact, when I say I love dogs, I love big dogs, I must admit. Little yappers, and somebody's going to take me to task for this, but the truth is I'm a big dog guy. And according to Scott Wiener, San Francisco supervisor, a third of the city's households now have dogs in them. So this really is a very friendly dog town, to put it mildly. But this problem, I mean, of service dogs goes right to the heart of a lot of the difficulties. Martha Walters, excuse me. You were, I know, in the Bank of America, and suddenly, and you're a dog lover, right?
Absolutely.
All right, but you got bit by a dog that was supposed to be a service dog. One of our producers was also a dog lover, has two dogs, was walking somewhere, and a dog came up and started, like, nipping at her and everything. She said, get your dog away from me, please. And the woman said, it's doing this because you obviously hate dogs, because it wouldn't do this to you if you didn't hate dogs. You know, there's some pretty dog-whack people out there. But you went to the other branches, and the problem, this is, I guess, at a Bank of America, problem is dogs are allowed. They're permitted. They can run free again, full rein.
My impression is that when I went to the different branches at the Bank of America, they were more concerned about being customer friendly than basically protecting the customers who were uncomfortable with dogs. And that made me uncomfortable. I mean, I'm a lifelong dog owner. I've had dogs all my life. And I think, you know, getting back to what we were just talking about before, it is about responsible dog ownership. And some people really are uncomfortable about dogs, and you can't assume that they are comfortable about dogs when you go anywhere. Even, you know, when I go walking at Chrissy Field, I cannot assume that person over on East Beach is necessarily going to be comfortable.
And don't assume, by the way, also that since Farhad mentioned his 2.5-year-old son, that people are necessarily going to like kids either, or tots for that matter. There are just some people who are adverse to dogs,
right.
And there are some people who are dogs.
Exactly.
And, you know, my mother would say that's what makes the world go around, or that's what makes differences between us. But there's an abuse of service dogs here that we need to talk about. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of people walking around saying, well, it's a service dog, or they even have the papers that say that, although there's not much enforcement, I'm afraid. And they're going into restaurants and going into food places and not necessarily, well, like I said, we'll talk to a public health officer later on, but this is a problem.
It is a problem. You know, we're primarily focusing on open space and people being responsible there. Well, that, you know, parlays into interior spaces too, like cafes, banks, whatever the place is. So we're very well aware of it. And again, I just get back to their main tenet about being a responsible dog owner.
Well, you've got a dog management plan actually in the works.
Yep.
And we talk about responsible dog ownership and the need to be sensitive to people who don't necessarily like dogs or dog intolerant. But talk about the plan and where it's headed now.
Sure. some of you may know, but the GGNRA is in the middle of a land use planning process.
Golden Gate Recreation.
Yes, sorry. Golden Gate National Recreation Area. And they're trying to figure out the best way to manage dog use in GGNRA lands. And just, you know, to make other people aware, to people in radio land, that the GGNRA encompasses three counties, Marin, San Francisco, and San Mateo. So, for example, in Marin County, that would be Marin Headlands, Muir Beach, in San Francisco, Crissy Field, Ocean Beach, Land's End. And in San Mateo County, that would also encompass Maury Point and Rancho. So around 2 years ago, the GGNRA released what is called a draft environmental impact statement. And there were thousands and thousands of substantive comments that were submitted to the GGNRA. So what the GGNRA did, they went back to the drawing board, and in the fall, they will be releasing what is called a supplemental EIS, Environmental Impact Statement. And there will be a 90-day public comment period. And then the GGNRA will evaluate these comments and come up with what is called a final rule, probably in 2014.
And the GGNRA has also been criticized, I should mention. I'd like to get your responses. We heard from a listener, in fact, who writes for Dogster, and he says they're falling back on what they agreed to, which was much more permissiveness where dogs were concerned. And he points out in a couple of articles that one of them had to do with what he saw as, I think, characterizes too zealous enforcement back in the August attack of that National Park policeman's horse by a terrier named Charlie that was going to be euthanized, and there was a huge controversy about that. And then you mentioned San Mateo. There was also a big controversy there with a guy being lasered. He had a rat terrier, and it was off a leash, and a female park ranger lasered him. So we've got, you know, some pretty dramatic and in some way, people's minds exemplary cases of how dogs should be curbed or controlled versus dogs being out of control. How do you see these incidents?
Boy, these are really complex questions here. Yes, the gentleman was tasered. It was a very unfortunate incident, as with the park policeman and the horse and the dog named Charlie. These are actually, when you think about in the context of the scheme of things, how many actually user groups go to GGNRA every day, especially the dogs, it's actually a fraction of really what happens. And again, I know I'm repeating myself, but it's about responsible dog ownership. You need to know your dog's behavior. You need to bring a leash. You need to bring doggy bags. You need to be aware, voice and sight control.
So GGNRA is not falling back on its promises, as this gentleman, John Galotti, seems to suggest in his article?
I'm not sure about falling back on promises. We're going through a land use planning process. It's a little bit more complicated, Michael, because there were a couple of lawsuits about 20 years ago, and we're lucky to be going through this process where the Park Service is going through an environmental analysis. So there is, the 1979 pet policy, but that just covered San Francisco and Marin counties and did not include San Mateo. And since that time, the GGNRA has acquired lands in San Mateo, including Rancho.
Again, Martha Walters here with us, and she's co-founder and chair of the Crissy Field Dog Group. And by the way, there's open space dog training classes at Crissy Field. We should mention, put a plug in for that. And you got a video of where to walk off leash in GGNRA, all that on your website?
Yes, we've partnered with the San Francisco SPCA, and they're holding open space dog training classes at Crissy Field Center. It's on hiatus for the summer because of the America Cup races, but we'll be beginning back in late September, early October. And we really encourage people to take these type of classes so they are more aware. And like, for example, sometimes on East Beach, if it's this rare, beautiful, sunny, calm day, and folks come out with their kids, and a dog comes up and grabs the food, that's not okay. You know, they really need to pay attention to where their dogs are.
And speaking about the SPCA, there was an article on the uptick in dog abuse cases. And in fact, the Humane Society is really stretching to the breaking point now. And that possibly means more homes in need of dogs. I mean, that's the reality of it. It may not make you happy, Farhad Manju, but we're talking about the fact that there has to be more responsible dog ownership. you know, the workplace productivity, some say, goes up and is better with dogs there, even though some don't welcome it. How do you reconcile that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm generally a big fan of flexible workplaces, of workplaces without a lot of onerous rules. I think that has to be balanced against kind of the happiness of all employees. I mean, it might be that a bunch of people are happier in an office when there's a dog there. But if there are some, even if there are a minority of people who feel that the dog lowers their productivity or just makes them anxious or makes them sneeze or, you know, they're just wary of the dog all the time, that's probably not great for their work. I mean, obviously the businesses have a right to decide whether they want their, you know, dogs in their workplace or not.
Well, they don't want aggressive dogs. They don't want dogs that are jumping all over.
Exactly. And
right. I mean, I feel like if you do have a policy about dogs in your workplace, you do allow dogs in your workplace, I think, again, it's up to the dog owners to make sure that when the dog is in the office, that they're not – that the dog is not bothering people, that the dog is not, you know, left to wander around the office and is taken care of in the office in the same way that if I had to, on an off chance, bring my son to work, you know, I would make sure that he's not, like, running around all over the place and making life difficult for everyone else.
Well, as we anticipated, there are a lot of responses coming in. This, as I said, is an issue that really grabs a lot of people. And the Bay Area is known for being a dog-loving region, but is really, the question we're asking, has our canine adoration reached an unhealthy level, particularly because of the irresponsibility of many dog owners? By the way, I don't think PETA likes the word dog owner. They call them warden.
Guardians?
Guardians, yeah, right. I don't have a problem with that. You may want to join us, and in fact, if you do, let me tell you how, and then I'm going to go to some of these comments that are already pouring in. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. Or I shouldn't say it's available. All the lines are buzzing away here before I even gave out the number, but take down this number because you can join us in the course of the hour when a line becomes available. It's 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments you might have right onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment. You can also, of course, go to our Facebook page, and I'm going to read some of those comments here, as well as tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. Here's Lori, who says, many other cities are much more dog-friendly than San Francisco. Also, in Europe, dogs are allowed just about everywhere, including most restaurants. Americans are much too fussy about many things and too lax about others. Chemicals and food are much more likely to hurt you than a dog hair. Andy writes, I don't want to maneuver around dogs in the produce aisles or farmers market, service or no. I don't want to worry about pit bulls tied up outside my local coffee shop. And unfortunately, I've had to advise my grocer that dogs tied up around the corner were busily digging up all their expensive landscaping. Good dogs, yes, okay, but some are not okay, and some owners are clueless. I don't have easy answers. Here's Cleo, who says, the same people who want public tolerance for their dog will whine and complain at the mere presence of a child in the same public venue. Katie writes, the best job I ever had was at a dog-friendly workplace. The dogs reduced stress, and we were no less productive or successful for it. Dogs that were disruptive, ill-behaved, were not tolerated. This was for a pharmaceutical company. Well-behaved dogs are ambassadors for those humans who are not fans of dogs. I thought she was going to say that some of the pharmaceuticals were used to maybe calm down the dogs, but... another listener writes, also, we don't have any complaints about allergies, phobias, and this was a large company. Of course, I'm a dog person, so I'm biased in favor of taking dogs everywhere, Paris Hilton style, dogs in bags notwithstanding. Lisa writes, I listen to your show a lot and often find it to be constructive and enlightening. However, I'm concerned about the slant of today's show. The question, is the Bay Area too dog-friendly, comes with a built-in bias. Dog folks who move here from other areas in the United States often are grateful to have so much more acceptance, much like other groups who have come before them. I don't have time right now to outline a more balanced approach, but would appreciate a future show dealing with the benefits, rights, and responsibilities of urban dog culture. Dorothy says, there used to be a time when only seeing eye dogs and the like were allowed in grocery stores and so forth, but these people with their pooches and Safeway in the mall, it's totally wrong. I've actually seen dogs in the toddler seat of the shopping carts. Just because they're small doesn't make it okay. For health reasons, they are not allowed in the local farmers' markets. They all have signs stating such. Why can't other businesses do that? By the way, we're going to talk, as I said, with Richard Lee, who directs the food safety program for the San Francisco Department of Health. And many businesses just have owners or proprietors or managers saying, you know, you can hit your dog outside to a post or you can do something like that, but we prefer that you don't bring it in here. Another listener writes, the problem is the owners, not the dogs. My family lives a couple blocks from DuBose Park. My kids call it Pubos Park, there's meant to be a dedicated dog area and a dedicated no dog area. Dog owners sadly pay very little attention to those designations. Just last night, as I walked home from work, man was letting his dog poop on the grass right next to the stencil that says no dogs in this area. That's routine. Some pick it up entirely or in part. Some don't bother at all. The problem isn't the dogs, it's the owners, and it really is a big problem for those of us who just want a clean piece of grass to play on. Another listener writes on our website, I'm glad people love their dogs and are proactive towards making sure there's space for them. However, I share the space with them and their dogs, and I'm not a big dog lover, not a fan of the smell or the fur all around. Would it be possible to have separate sections for dog lovers and their pooches to ensure that everyone is happy? Leave it to the businesses to decide who they want to attract as long as there is separate space for both. A lot of these are coming in not so positive. Here's a listener writes, I'm an attorney who advises and represents a Bay Area County animal shelter. More and more people want to bring their dogs with them wherever they go. People claim that their dogs are service dogs because they provide emotional comfort and security. Under the ADA, service animals must perform a task. The ADA is very explicit that providing emotional comfort and security is not a task that would allow a person to bring his dog into a business. I'm also seeing a proliferation of websites that sell service dog vests and harnesses. People could pay $100 to get their dog certified. There's no such thing as an official certification. It's disheartening that people feel comfortable lying about having a disability so that they can bring their dogs with them. And as we've said, that really hurts people who are truly disabled. And Martha Walters, it's not easy to fake it, but what about certification? What about being ordained as a someone who needs a service dog? I think there is a process, isn't there?
Absolutely, there is. Actually, I have what the law says. Under California law, a service dog is any dog individually trained to the requirements of the individual with a disability. California also recognizes guide dogs for the blind and signal dogs for deaf and hearing impaired persons. California provides for issuance of a special tag to owners and trainers of assistance dogs. So it's pretty clear, and I think that there's an abuse of it, just like handicap placards. But this is a little bit more pronounced when people say they need emotional support. To me, it's a stretch.
Yeah, and I think it's something that really needs to be enforced more. But we'll talk about that with Richard Lee, and that's an editorial comment. And I feel the same way about people who use handicap signs in their cars and park in handicapped spaces when they shouldn't be. In fact, there ought to be a special place in Dante's Inferno for such people. How do I really feel? Georgia, join us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Your guests are very reasonable, and this all has been going on for more than 15 years. I mean, my kids could never play catch in their local park because of the battles going on. And I had a woman say to me, well, we have a right to let our dog run off leash even though it's not allowed because people break the law by going too fast or running red lights, which, you know, is just incredibly insane kind of comment. I mean, I think a lot of this problem is this entitlement that a lot of baby boomers have, and maybe it's going to the other generations now. The baby boomers start this. They're entitled. I'm a baby boomer. But I would never let my dog run off leash if I had one, just like I would never let my kid invade somebody's personal space in a restaurant or on the street. And I just wish that there would be some more reasonableness. You know, keep your dog on a shorter lead when you see somebody passing on the street. Keep your dog on the lead. Obey the rules. Pick up. You know, it's a city. We have to live in a civilized way and figure out to get along. And people with dogs need to respect other people's personal space on the street.
All right. Thank you, Georgia, for that call. I think, by the way, when we ask the question, is San Francisco and the Bay Area region too dog-friendly? We're really saying, are people catering too much to dogs? But also, you know, are the people who bring dogs into different places not necessarily being as responsible as they ought to be? That's a way of favoring dogs in a bad sense. We'll continue, and we'll hear more from you when we continue. You're listening to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. You put a woman in front and a man behind. I hear a woman shout out, who let the dogs out? 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 You're listening to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, and the Bay Area is certainly known as a dog-loving region, but the question here is canine adoration perhaps reach an unhealthy level? You now see dogs in grocery stores, cafes, even offices, and some argue we're excessively spoiling our dogs at the expense of others, and we're talking about whether the region has a dog-coddling problem. Farhad Manjoo with us, technology columnist with Slate.com, and has written about this subject from an admittedly canine intolerant point of view, as he calls it. Martha Walters is co-founder and chair of the Chrissy Field Dog Group, a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting responsible dog ownership and establishing and upholding permanent off-leash dog walking rights within the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. You are welcome to join the program. The phone number 866-733-6786, email address forum at kqed.org, and our website is kqed.org/forum. You can click on this segment. Listener writes on our website, before about 100 years ago, most dogs were not leashed, refused access to open spaces, etc. It is not healthy physically or mentally to keep a dog in a small box, an apartment, and always on leash. There is not enough open spaces for dogs to run and play off leash. Less than 1% of the NRA allows places for dogs off leash. Not fair use. San Francisco is not dog friendly enough. And another listener writes, I know so many people who treat their dogs like their children. Full disclosure, I'm the parent of two small children, so I'm a bit biased here. It's hard for me to understand why my brother-in-law demands that I get their dog a Christmas present, why my friends who live in Mountain View can't meet me for the afternoon in the city because they can't leave their dog for a few hours, why one friend pays almost as much for doggy daycare as I do for preschool, or why I'm invited to a wedding that specifies that children are not invited but dogs are welcome. San Francisco is already one of the least child-friendly cities in America, and I have to wonder if all this excessive dog friendliness is a result of that. People can't afford to have children or aren't ready to or don't want to and fulfill their need to nurture with a pooch. I find myself biting back these words on a regular basis. If you want to have a kid, have a kid. It's just a dog. Farhad, I got an email this morning from someone in your world, a friend of mine in technology world, Mark Leslie by name. And he said, and he happens to be like me, a dog lover. He sends me this email, and it says, maybe there should be career counseling for dogs. And there's a picture of two German shepherds, and one is holding, well, they're both holding a branch. And it says, branch manager and assistant branch manager. Now, okay, I'm glad you laughed at that, because you don't have to be a dog lover to see humor in that, right? I mean,
that's
people would say,
good.
You know, you can see a sense of humor. You can see, you know, maybe understand why people love dogs, right?
My wife is a big dog lover.
Marriage is maybe doomed.
No. Yeah. Yeah, we disagree about a lot of things. She has taught me the ways of the dog, and
the ways of the dog.
And you know, I understand. I understand why people like dogs. I just don't happen to share that visceral emotional reaction. I'm not sure how my kids will turn out, but. I just think, you know, I expect...
Are you afraid of them, though, too? Is that part of it? I mean, that's a natural fear.
I don't think that I'm afraid of all of them, but, you know, there are some that I am afraid of. You know, the bigger ones that you're a big fan of.
Pit bulls?
Yeah. If I see a pit bull on the street, I will probably walk to the other side of the street. I read this article, and I expected that a lot of dog owners would be after me, would criticize me. But, you know, as Martha says, I think the responsible dog owners are kind of on my side, because the irresponsible dog owners make everyone look bad, make sort of dog owners look bad, and kind of
we're getting a lot of responses, you should know,
help,
along those lines.
Yeah, they help to kind of curtail the permissiveness of dogs.
Yeah, Martha, you going to add something here?
I would just say that irresponsible dog owners are clueless. They honestly do not understand the impact that they have on other people, whether a person's allergic to a dog or afraid. I mean, I know that I'm very aware of that. I have a really close friend of mine who's allergic to dogs. She doesn't come over to my house. That's fine. So we meet somewhere else. I mean, I think we just need to be flexible in this. And I think that irresponsible dog owners don't know. And that is part of the problem. That's part of what we try to do, is to educate, and as well as other people, other groups are trying to educate. That is a real challenge.
Well, you can weigh in here again by going to our Facebook page or tweeting us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. Let me go to some more calls, and Rye joins us. Good morning, Rye.
Yeah, hey. You know, I'm one of those dog lovers. I bring my dog everywhere, and, you know, as far, you know, and I'm also one of those San Francisco guys that, that can't really stand being in the same room as a child.
I want to get more callers on there, and we'll go to Lisa next. Lisa, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I actually lived in San Francisco with my 90-pound dog for 10 years and was kind of harassed out by a landlord who actually made false accusations against my dog. So having a big dog in the city can be a real liability, even if it's very well trained. But I
In fact, you probably remember, having lived in San Francisco, you know, there was a dog attack.
I know. And unfortunately, my dog has the same name as one of those dogs, and it was completely by coincidence. But in any event, you know, having lived in the city for 10 years, and when she was younger, I often took her to Chrissy Field. You know, I have to say there are a lot of really irresponsible dog owners, and unfortunately, a big problem in my mind is the dog walkers. You can't have 8 or 10 dogs running off leash and keep track of them all, and I regularly saw them just wandering around with these packs of dogs that were going to the bathroom everywhere and stuff, and I'd point it out, and sometimes they'd ignore me, or sometimes they'd tell me to mind my own business.
And there's a new ordinance that limits dog walkers to 8 at a time. Does that comfort you?
No, because, in fact, a lot of dog walkers still had more than 8 dogs. And if you have, tell me how one person can keep track of 8 dogs running around on a field. I mean, you can't have, unless you have, like, 8 eyes all pointed in different directions, how are you really going to be able to keep track of whether or not one's going to the bathroom behind you? So I think that really messes it up for dog owners in general. And then my last comment, and I'm sorry to say this, but I'm a big dog person, and I think a lot of problems started when people started having the dogs in the purses and treating their dogs like they truly were infants. And the sense of entitlement that seems to come with that kind of dog ownership just blows me away. I mean, these people will, like, put their dogs on a chair in a restaurant and actually feed them, or I've seen them carried in baby backpacks. And I just, that's not a dog.
Now why does Amy Tan come swiftly to my mind here? No.
Is that right?
She has these little dogs. They're actually kind of really cute. And she brings them everywhere with her, everywhere. And they're easy to hide, you know, if you go into a place, too. Thank you, Lisa, for that call. A lot of emotions rousing with this. Let me get another caller on here. Sully is our next caller. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I just kind of wanted to remind people about sort of why San Francisco became dog-friendly in the first place, and that is that dogs really do help people create a sense of community in what can often be an isolating urban environment. The presence of dogs facilitates communications between people. You know, if you walk down the street, how many people smile and talk to you? Now walk down the street with a dog, and you'll have a lot more people smiling and talking to you, a lot more positive interactions. And that community of people that have dogs is one of the most diverse communities in the city. I mean, you see people with, you know, every race, ethnic, religion, gay, straight, every age, every rich, poor. Everybody has dogs, and you go to a park, they're all interacting in a very positive way. And I think that sense of community that comes in San Francisco, I mean, in urban cities, we need things that give us a sense of community, and having a dog can help that. And I think that just this was so focusing on the bad actions of a few people, this discussion. I just kind of wanted to kind of remind people about the good sides, the health benefits and the social benefits that dogs do provide.
Well, you're right, and thank you for that call. Unfortunately, the bad apples do stand out. I mean, it's just like, I think a lot of people are very responsible about picking up their dog's waste, you know, fecal material, but the few who don't, again, you know, stand out. And, you know, if you step into it, you particularly feel that kind of standing out. Let me get another caller on here. We're joined next by Shabazz. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing? I like dogs. You know, I used to have a dog when I was a kid growing up in Mississippi. And he was so black, we used to call him Blau, as a matter of fact. But, you know, I see people with dogs in shopping carts. Dogs are like self-cleaning. So I see people kissing dogs and having them eat out of the same plate, you know, which is very disease-ridden. I was at the post office and people putting dogs all up on the counter. So, you know, and it's not up to dogs to make us more amicable towards each other. It's up to human beings. You know, I think that the last caller made a good point, but I think that, you know, as human beings, we shouldn't let dogs be the substitute of us being able to treat each other like humans. I think that's a huge problem we should work on. So, you know, if you're going to be a dog owner, you know, have respect for everybody else. Everybody in the world is not, you know, just, you know, head over heels dog lover. And again, dogs are self-cleaning.
Oh, thank you for those for that comment, Shabazz. Good to hear from you. And I want to go right to another caller here, and that's Abby joining us from Mountain View. Good morning.
Hi. I am a service dog owner certified from Canine Partners for Life in Cochranville, Pennsylvania. I use him for balance and support. I need a walker without him. And I live across from a park. There are dogs all the time off leash that are... I have contacted the police department. They say unless they come and actually see it, they can't do anything. And if my dog were to be attacked by these dogs running around, I am dependent upon my dog. It is just, I am so irritated by it. I do see some people regularly throwing sticks for their dogs running all over the place. You know, I try to avoid those times because I haven't been able to get any support and help for me. And, you know, I need to walk my dog.
But when dogs are off the leash, they are a real problem for you. That's
absolutely.
I think that we need to have you go on record with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for that. In fact, that I think should be of concern of all responsible citizens. A listener writes, think about how dogs help the ill, the homeless, children, inmates, the elderly. We were walking down the sidewalk and this man who had a stroke was able to pet my dogs and the smile on his face was priceless. His wife started to tear up. If we weren't out on the sidewalk, we never would have met. Another listener on the pro side says, judging whether or not someone's service dog is for a legitimate need is a whole other issue. Many disabilities are not viable. PTSD, for example, which is one of the more common applications for service dog companionship, isn't necessarily a recognizable disability. True, there are abusers of the system, but business owners have rights to not allow any dog, service or not, from their business. And here's a listener who's sort of in a neutral vein. He says, or she says, is it possible that there are two related but quite distinct questions here? One question about the quantity and use of open spaces, including by dogs and dog owners. Another about the behavior of dogs and owners in more dense public spaces, such as offices or simply sidewalks. I think that's a fair enough distinction.
Absolutely.
Let me get another caller on here. Jane, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thank you. I was in Whole Foods in San Rafael a couple of weeks ago, and they have a rack of loaves of bread, you know, the designer breads, Acme and Freddy and those, and they're in bags, bags open at one end. And the open end was out toward the aisle, and a woman was walking along with a little dog on leash, and the dog went over and stuck its nose on all the open ends of the bags and touched its nose to the bread. And it really made me, I was very annoyed, and I went over and I reported it. And I was in there the other day, and guess what? The rack is still there, and the bags are still there with the open end out toward the aisle. I'm going to write Whole Foods a letter. I don't think dogs belong in grocery stores, period. Unless they're working dogs, unless they're service dogs. I have no problem with service dogs in restaurants and anywhere else where they have a specific job to do. But just people's pets, they don't belong in any.
Well, Jane, I thank you. In fact, I'm going to do a really neat segue here to bring Richard Lee on here because there is state law that prohibits anything except service dogs or law enforcement dogs or law enforcement animals. I don't know, you know, horses, I guess. They don't go into Whole Foods. But, you know, the law is written, as I understand the statute, says except for service and law enforcement pets or animals, they are prohibited from food facilities. And Richard Lee directs the food safety program for the San Francisco Department of Public Health. And good to have you with us. Welcome to Forum.
Oh, thank you.
This is an ongoing problem. In fact, the complaints are going up in food service places, are they not?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, we had, I think, from 44 back a couple years ago, and I think last year we had 17. But part of it had to do, I think, with we're giving better warning signs to some of the operators so that the public knows that they shouldn't be bringing anything else besides service animals into the food facilities.
Well, dogs, for example, can be a public health risk if they're brought into food facilities, and only service or law enforcement dogs are supposed to be there. So that's in the California Food Code. That's very explicit, correct?
That's true.
So why isn't it being more enforced?
It is being enforced. I mean, what's happening is, okay, for us, we only have the ability to enforce against the operator, the food facility. Okay, so what we expect is that when an operator sees an animal and who may not be a service animal, they have the, I guess, the task to go to the owner and say, is that a service animal? And also they have the ability to say, if it is, what's it trained for? If they do that, and also if they, you know, have the signs that we have, then we think that they're doing probably what we expect. And, you know, we're probably not going to go further in terms of enforcement action against them.
But how serious do you think, or how widespread is the lack of documentation for service animals, or how much is are these fraudulent service animals actually interfering with the needs that people legitimately have?
Well, I don't think there's, in terms of documentation, in terms of them having to show that they are a service animal at the facility, there is no requirement that they have to show that it is a service animal.
Why is that? Shouldn't there be?
I think that's a federal or state regulation.
But we were talking about, in fact, Martha Walters was talking about the fact that there is a documentation that goes with having a service animal.
But I'm not sure they're obligated to carry with them the whole time.
Okay, well, we're talking about maybe the possibility of a statute there or a different kind of rule for enforcement purposes.
That probably would help a lot, yeah.
Yeah. What advice do you have to people who are dog owners, I mean, in terms of just being more responsible and being more aware of the public health issues?
Well, I think they have to realize that, you know, if they go shopping, especially food shopping, that they can't necessarily expect that they can bring their pet into the store. They have to realize there are public health ramifications when they do that.
But, you know, many pet owners, well, it's the other pet owners who are the problem. It's not me. You know, my pet's clean as...
Right. But then again, not everyone sees it that way. You know, I think a lot of times some people will go there and they just don't expect to see a regular pet just walking through the aisles.
And do the food service people need to be simply more...
They have a responsibility to make sure that only service animals are in their food facilities, and they should be taking the minimum requirements to at least ask the owners if that is a service animal.
Richard Lee, again, Director of Food Safety Program for the San Francisco Department of Public Health, and we thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it, and we'll go to more of your calls. Next to David. David, you're on.
Yes, I own two dogs, and I'm a dog lover, and my wife and I opened a business, a small brew pub last year, and we have people. I can't bring my dogs in there because it's against the health department code, but I have people that come in with a small little dog that they hold in their lap, and it's a service dog, so to speak. And I totally recognize, like the visually impaired people have service dogs. But you can get your dog registered as a service dog just by filling out a form. And that it's like a service dog. What does that mean? If it's a lap dog that you're holding on your lap. What service is that providing? I own two dogs. I'm a dog lover, but they're dogs. And you know, I recognize that I love my dogs. But everybody doesn't love my dogs like I love my dog. And so I just don't even get how it's possible that you can just fill out a form and bring a dog into a restaurant when I can't bring my own dogs into the restaurant because it's a sanitary issue.
David, thank you for the call. And actually a very important point here from a listener who writes, I want to make an important point about service and therapy animals. While I am certain there is some abuse of the service and therapy animal classification, be careful about declaring yourself judge and jury on who needs them and who doesn't. Not all disabilities, even physical disabilities, are immediately obvious. Many of us disabled folks look normal to others. Please be careful about assuming you know who is disabled or able-bodied. The same applies to the use of parking placards and the disabled person's seats on transit. Right, of course, but it makes it even more maddening for the person who's trying to determine. Another listener writes, for many, dogs and cats are a substitute for children, causing less impact on the environment than the potential population increase. Consider the impact if each child and cat was a child instead. Each dog and cat were a child instead. And here's Melinda who writes, too many dogs. Dogs and cat owners should be taxed for the poop. Another listener joins us. That's Phil. Hi, Phil.
Yes. I walk in San Francisco and at nighttime and sometimes during the day, and I find people walking their dogs off the leash. Sometimes they're large dogs, pit bulls and Rottweilers, and I'm afraid. So I walk out into the street, and I ask the person, I said, don't you realize you're supposed to have your dog on a leash? I'm afraid of your dog. And they don't do anything. They flip me the bird. They start yelling at me. What should I do? Should I call 911? Or I'm very confused. What should I do?
Martha Walters, Farhad Manju, either of you have some advice? Farhad?
That's a problem. That happens all the time. I mean, people who are walking their dogs off leash on the sidewalk. And truly, I don't know what to do. I think calling 911 is excessive if the dog hasn't attacked you. But I do think that there should be some kind of enforcement of that, and there isn't. I mean, the cops aren't stopping people who are walking their dogs off leash, and really no one is enforcing that. And so the only sort of enforcement we have is peer pressure and shame. But
it's hard enough to get the police out if your car's stolen.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he's raising a real dilemma here.
I think other dog owners should do it. I mean, because the dogless among us might not have as much sway.
Well, the kind of people who give him the bird when he says this needs some sensitivity training. I mean, you know, they take you, Phil, for being maybe commanding them like they command their dogs, and people don't like that authoritative attitude. You might take just a more diplomatic approach, maybe. I don't know what kind of tone you're taking, but, you know, go up and say, you know, I'm afraid of your dog, and please understand, you know.
Although you can't go too close then.
Yeah, but yeah. You keep your distance, but put it on that kind of contextual level might help. Thank you for the call. I want to get some more callers on. Catherine, join us. Hi.
Hi, this is Catherine. I was flying recently, and at the very last minute, a woman came in and sat down in the middle seat, and then this horrible noise started, and there was a scrabbling sound, and I said, and I have asthma, and I'm very allergic to cats, and I said, excuse me, do you have a cat in there? And she said, no, it's a service animal. And pulled out this dog that was about, you know, a teacup kind of dog, and it had a little blue service vest on it. And I said, oh, and I just sat there because I thought, you know, I had never seen a little tiny lap dog like that. And she said, and if you are going to be a B word about it, she said, I just want you to know that some people have emotional problems, and I need this dog or I can't fly. And I just sat there because I hadn't said anything, and she became very angry, and so I thought, well, she must need the dog. But she proceeded then to...
She needs a dog for anger management, maybe.
yeah. And so I guess my question is, I mean, I really think at some point she was being... She turned to me and said another very angry thing, and I waved to this one of the stewards, and I walked over and said, you know, I'm feeling really uncomfortable sitting next to this woman. She seems very angry, and I haven't really said anything, but I said, you know, I'm allergic to cats. I get, and I some dogs, and I'm a little bit worried. I said, is there any way how I don't understand how the service dog can be out in a lab, and because I have four children and I could never, you know, they had to be belted in, my kids, and I didn't understand the whole thing. It just seemed like she was this free agent with this animal, and they said, and they moved me actually, and they found a seat and moved me, but they didn't do anything with her, and I'm just thinking, I don't understand who's making the rules, and that. The whole thing seems like it's so unregulated.
Yeah, I think you raised an important point, and at least they got you in another seat and took care of it on that end. But often what we're hearing in this discussion is just people not knowing what to do, not knowing how to act, not knowing what authority to seek. I think, Farhad, you certainly strongly came up to that conclusion, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, in a situation like the caller described, You know, luckily they were able to find her a new seat, but I don't think that the airline really would know what to do otherwise because, you know, service dog or no, there are few rules about this. I mean, I think the food establishments have rules, as the public health official said, but I've seen those rules being, you know, flouted all the time. And it's because I think businesses are afraid to kind of enforce these policies because a lot of people do love dogs and they might, you know, customers might react strongly if you lay down the law about dogs like that.
Michael writes, no one mentioned the brilliant New York City program whereby all the large parks, Central Prospect, Van, Cortlandt, etc., are off-leash dog parks between 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. This populates the parks at night, making them safer for everyone. It allows dog owners to run their dogs in the morning so the pooch sleeps instead of barking all day while the owner is at work, and creates lots of value for the dog owners and the dogs while providing reasonable protection during the day for the dog averse. Let me bring on another caller, and that's Colt. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a service dog handler, and while my dogs are large and at least semi-traditional looking, so we don't get that many problems, I have a friend who has epilepsy. Her dog is a little terrier mix who can fit on her lap, and it really bothers me when people say that little dogs can't be service dogs because this dog alerts to her seizures. He will lie on her after they happen. He will get her medicine bag without being directed to. He opens the cabinet, goes and gets it, brings it back to her. So when she wakes up, she has their meds. He does everything that a big dog would need to.
Little dogs definitely can be service dogs, and I'm glad you brought that into the discussion here because it's certainly true. By the way, what do you think the smartest breed of dog is? It's going to get people all riled up. But I read an article recently, you know, I'm a Labrador guy more than anything else, and Labradors are very smart as dog breeds go. And I suppose it, you know, depends how you test the dogs and all that. But the canine corps, which, you know, test dogs, poodles turn out to be the smartest of the breeds. Listener writes, dogs are a source of joy and happiness. They are a source of fun, a sense of freedom and purity. Dogs do not discriminate. They are simple and most are happy creatures. They provide touch points and smiles between strangers. The focus on airing grievances during this discussion is more a statement about intolerance and entitlement than it is about dog owners or dogs in the city. And another listener says, as an owner of a 75-pound Doberman, I make sure to keep my dog controlled. I'm embarrassed by other owners whose dogs are crazy. Another tweet says, this might be a slippery slope, but it seems to me that some sort of a municipal license or certification would be of help here. Perhaps a training class would be included in this process. And lots of good discussion here and lots of good recommendations. Thank you, our listeners, for all your input. And thanks to Farhad Manju, who is a technology columnist for Slate.com, which is an online public affairs and culture magazine. They can read your article online, in fact, right?
Yep.
Slate.com about dogs. Thanks to Martha Walters, co-founder and chair of Chrissy Field Dog Group, and Richard Lee, who also joined us, director of the Food Safety Program with the San Francisco Department of Public Health. And again, thanks to you, our listeners. Forums produced by Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi, Tina Larberg, and Susan Britton. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, with online support from David Marks. Senior editor is Dan Zoll. Executive producer, Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and the Sue Ann Gershenson Trust.